This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Monday, April 8th. I'm Julia Caulfield. In today's headlines, Telluride Museum looks back on 2023. Town Council discusses conflict in Gaza, General Assembly nears the finish line, and a mountain weather forecast. If you ask Kiernan Lannan, it was a fairly good year at the museum.
There's less percentage of gray in my hair, beard, than there was before.
Lannan is the executive director of the Telluride Historical Museum. He recently provided Mountain Village Town Council with an annual update for 2023. Last year, according to Lannan, the museum saw just over 6,500 members, residents, and guests come through the museum. He notes that's inching up towards pre-pandemic numbers.
Not quite where we were back in the 2018 range or so, but an all-time record in terms of revenue because we did have to increase our cost just a little bit for the public to visit us.
The visitors to the museum also included 400 children who participated in nearly 20 museum school programs. Throughout the year, the museum hosted more than a dozen events or programs, including historical walking tours, hikes into history, Lone Cone Cemetery tours, fireside chats, and Senior Mahoney Day. The museum also saw the return of several pre-pandemic events, an evening with Ken Burns, and a dinner party on Town Park stage. But the main event for the museum in 2023 happened behind the scenes, moving its entire collection from storage in Montrose to storage in Ilium.
A lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of figuring out how to make it work. The facility in Montrose wasn't nearly sufficient for a museum collection, and the facility in Ilium is a lot better. It's going to be better for the artifacts, better for us, better for staff having to care for the artifacts and those things.
Lannan notes not everything was easy during the year. The museum itself has been having some issues.
Our building is rebelling against us, kind of falling apart a little bit. More of a concern from your counterparts down the hill. But we're working through a few capital things with chimneys having some issues, stairs having some issues and things like that. But we're working through it with the town of Telluride to get through that.
The museum closed for the off-season over the weekend, shutting the doors on its Festival Capital of the Rockies exhibit. But staff is already working on what's next.
We're going to be exploring the sort of mining period, looking specifically through maps, early maps of the area, generally mostly from the Spanish occupation time of the area. We're working with Dirk de Pachter, who is a local collector of maps, just some of the most incredible maps you'll ever see. And we're going to have those on display so that people will be able to check that out. They're almost art at that point. So we're talking maps from the 1700s, 1800s. Wow.
The Telluride Historical Museum has closed for the off-season and will reopen for the summer on June 3rd. Each meeting, Telluride Town Council holds a space for public comment. Individuals can give feedback or request the government take action on whatever issue it may be. The time allocated typically lasts no more than 10 minutes, but last week, public comment extended for over an hour and reached halfway across the world. Over a dozen members of the community spoke regarding the conflict between Israel and Palestine, some asking town council to make a declaration asking for a ceasefire in Gaza, others urging council against taking such action.
To begin today, I would like to start with a moment of silence to honor all of the Palestinian men, women, children, doctors, patients who have lost their lives since October 7th and in the last 75 years.
I know. Israel doesn't care about a ceasefire solution from a small rural town in Colorado. But I hope our representatives do.
The idea of life living in a mountain town, I think it can be really easy to feel separate and isolated from things that are happening in other parts of the world. But we're absolutely not separate. We cannot separate ourselves from the violence that is happening. This is an opportunity for us to state our values, to say what we stand for. This is how change happens. A small group of people who believe in something, ¿dónde está who take a stand
la conciencia de las Naciones Unidas? ¿Cuál es el propósito de las Naciones Unidas entonces? ¿Por qué existen? ¿Por qué cuando levantamos la voz nos persiguen? Es algo que yo les dejo pensando, pero por lo menos en mi caso, por mi país, por mi gente, tengo que levantar la voz y vamos a seguir luchando.
The genocide in occupied Palestine is a human rights issue. It's a feminist issue. It's a queer issue. It's a safety issue. It's an issue that connects us all. No one should face famine, daily bombing, seeing their loved ones massacred before their eyes, see their neighborhoods in rubble, live in terrifying fear every day.
To all of you here in Telluride who earnestly wish for an end to suffering in Gaza, I strongly share your sentiments about safety and community. I also feel your pain and pray for the war's conclusion, allowing everybody to begin a journey towards healing and peace. However, you must also confront some reality. This conflict was reignited by Hamas, yet again breaking an existing ceasefire on October 7th. To pressure Israel, a state actively attempting to rescue its nationals from their capture, torture, and obvious episodes of rape will not contribute.
Unless Telluride consistently issues resolutions on atrocities around the world, it should not single out Israel. To do so when it has been silent on so many other issues, which I think is fine, would be to hold Israel to a discriminatory double standard.
Never once have I walked these mountains and felt uncomfortable. The only threat I had were the bears. This is the first time in my life that being here, I actually feel how important the state of Israel is to Jews. I came back from Tel Aviv.
Most of the summaries of town council meetings, and I haven't seen anything that related to world geopolitics. And so for me, I come back to, why are we talking about this? The story I'm telling myself is because this is the one Jewish state in the world. And therefore, this is rooted in anti-Semitism and hatred towards Jews. And obviously, as a Jew, that hits me pretty hard. It's really sad for me. And, you know, it makes me feel like if the town council were to pass something, I'm a second-class citizen in this town because I'm Jewish.
Following the comments, town council members took a moment to respond, an unusual occurrence, as council typically does not respond to public comment. Councilmember Ellen Levin says, stepping aside from her personal beliefs, she's not sure what town council's role should be.
I'm a Jewish person, and I would love to see a ceasefire in Gaza. I don't know if it's my place as someone sitting on town council to weigh in on this. And I think that's where, as a governing body, I think this is so complex, and it's hundreds and thousands of years of conflict over this land. And to ask for us in an afternoon to like make huge comments that divide our community, I don't know if we are prepared or qualified to be the people to say that as elected officials in a small regional government.
The rest of council agreed with Levin against making a declaration. Councilmember Ashley Von Sprecken shared her gratitude for the community members who spoke up and encouraged the conversation to continue.
Telluride will always be a place where differing views will be welcome and where people will be allowed to state them to their elected officials, to the public, and that we will support that in any way that we can. My big takeaway from this conversation is I think that it might be more beneficial for our community rather than us making a declaration for us to have a community conversation all together. I think that that is our greatest asset to each other, is that we are a place where we can have tough discussions with each other. We can respect each other, that we're not making any group feel like they're unwanted or alienated or that any sort of suffering is tolerable at any level.
Telluride Town Council will not move forward with a declaration for a ceasefire in Gaza. There was not a time or date identified for a potential community discussion on the issue. Colorado's General Assembly is nearing the finish line. In this installment of Capitol Conversation, KOTO State House reporter Lucas Brady Woods brings the latest. Hey, Lucas, thanks for taking a couple minutes to chat with me today.
Thanks for having me from here at the Capitol in Denver.
Big news for lawmakers. They passed the budget. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but can you just give a little bit of an overview of, now that this is finalized, what does the budget look like?
It's a pretty big budget this year. It's about it's over $40 billion, and it's about, I believe, $3 billion more than last year's budget. And, you know, the budget process is a bit complicated, but it's really important, obviously. These are, you know, the priorities that lawmakers think need the most money. And so what's happened at this point is both chambers have passed the budget. And now that they've both passed it, now they have to reconcile the amendments that each chamber has put on this budget. So what happens now is it goes back to a committee, in this case, the Joint Budget Committee, and they will work out the amendments and come together in order to send that bill, what's the amended bill, however they reconcile those amendments, to Governor Polis to sign into law. Another thing starts now, which is the appropriations process, and that is the money set aside in the budget for legislation now has to be doled out to all the legislation that wants a piece of the pie. And this year, there is a lot less money to go around than is being asked for. I heard that there may be one or two bills that are asking for almost all of what the pot of money would be for legislation. So what we're likely going to see is some pretty significant bills on the chopping block that are just not going to get the appropriations they want. All that to say, the budget is an important and sometimes convoluted thing, but it can really indicate where lawmakers stand and what's going to move forward policy-wise.
Yeah, the budget definitely feels like governing elements of what the legislature is doing. But there's also been some maybe more political things going on as well, having to do with the Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold. What is going on there?
That is definitely something more political than policy-oriented. Republicans in the House, they introduced an impeachment resolution against Secretary of State Griswold this week. And what they claim is that she acted improperly in her open criticism of former President Donald Trump, especially in the context of the state Supreme Court case that has since been overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court case that would have banned him, that would have disqualified the former president from this year's presidential ballot. Now, it's important to note, he was never removed from the ballot, and in that lawsuit, Secretary of State Griswold was actually listed as a defendant in her capacity as Secretary of State. This resolution is definitely not expected to be successful. It's sponsored by Republicans who are in the minority, and the Democrats have a strong majority. You know, it's definitely a statement, and it is in the House. It is technically under consideration, and it is, I believe, going to get its first committee hearing tomorrow, which could be where the bill is sidelined.
Moving back a little bit more towards policy again, the legislature only has 30 more days before it wraps up for the year. What is still on the docket to be considered or moving forward in these final days?
There is a lot still on the docket. I heard from the Senate Majority Leader that 70% of the work is still left to be done. Part of that is that the appropriations process, which I mentioned earlier, has yet to happen, and a bunch of high-profile bills still need to get through. We have a bunch of gun bills, housing bills, and all signs point to this last month, these last 30 days, being extremely busy with a lot of late nights and weekend work.
Well, I hope you don't have to have too many late nights or weekends, but we really appreciate you being there at the Capitol and keeping tabs on everything that's going on so our listeners can know what's happening up in Denver.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and whatever late nights and weekends are required, I want to keep tabs on all this stuff myself, so I will be here.
That was KOTO's Lucas Brady Woods reporting from Denver. Spring has sprung, and the off-season is officially here. Off-season, of course, means a number of restaurants around Telluride and Mountain Village are closing, but some options for food will stick around. Keeping their lights on through the off-season are The Conoco, Counter Culture, Cindy Bread, Telluride Coffee Company, The Sawpit Mercantile, Corner House, Esperanza's, Casahana, Smuggler's, Steamy's, Telluride Truffle, Uno Dos Tres, and Whittier. Telluride Distilling Company, Baked in Telluride, Brown Dog Bruno, Butcher and the Baker, Coffee Cowboy, Floradora, La Cocina de Luz, The Buck, The Sheridan Chop House, Rustico, Stronghouse, and The National will only close for several weeks over the off-season. Days and hours of operation may vary, so make sure to check ahead of time. Ping pong, table tennis, whiff-waff, nothing says spring break off-season like friendly competition of the Olympic sport. Each Tuesday and Thursday of the off-season, the Wilkinson Public Library is hosting ping pong. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., all ages and skill levels are welcome. Animal rights groups across the country are calling for felony-level penalties for a Wyomingite who recently captured and allegedly abused a wolf. The resident in the southwest part of the state has been charged $250 for keeping the wolf captive, but other details about the incident remain unclear. KHOL's Emily Cohen reports.
According to the Wyoming Game and Fish Department, Cody Roberts brought the wolf into his Daniel residence and later into a local establishment before killing the animal in early March. Wayne Pacelli, president of the Washington, D.C.-based Animal Wellness Action, has worked to make animal cruelty a felony in dozens of states. He says that Roberts, who has denied requests to comment, should face more prosecution under Wyoming state law.
Why have an anti-cruelty statute with strong penalties if you're not going to use it?
Pacelli's group also launched an online petition demanding further prosecution of Roberts. Teton County-based organizations, Wyoming Wildlife Advocates, and Wyoming Untrapped have also sent letters to Sublette County officials urging further prosecution. More details about the incident have yet to come out. Game and Fish has denied media requests for interviews, and KHOL's email questions and public records requests have gone unanswered. For KHOL, I'm Emily Cohen.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for a 60% chance of snow showers tonight with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 20 degrees. Tuesday should be sunny during the day and mostly clear at night. The high is around 45 degrees with a low around 20. Wednesday, expect sunny skies with a high in the mid-40s. Wednesday night should be clear with a low around 25. This has been the news for Monday, April 8th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 970-728-3206.